What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's David and Isaac. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. The Grizzlies do it again. 10 in a row. The franchise record increases. They beat the Golden State Warriors 116-108, 20-4 in their last 24 games. Are they the best team in basketball?
Are they ever going to lose again? I think that's a question that we can ask right now. I don't know, man. It doesn't look like it, but man, it feels like it right now. It's hard to say because these are young guys and we've never seen this consistency outside of what we're seeing right now. So it's kind of hard to say they're the best team in the league right now, but the eye test watching, they beat Phoenix, they beat Golden State now. They've already won at Utah. And the thing about it is they're doing this with guys missing. They've literally, like, coaching staff, your head coach is missing. You're on your backup coach. You're on your backup coach with Brad Jones and Radakovic coaching tonight. This team just doesn't miss a beat. Like, I've never seen a team be able to face adversity the way this team has and continue to win games. Like, you just don't see what this team is doing right now. And that's why I feel like this might be a special year. We coming in talking about 45 wins. That's what I predicted. I think you say 42 on here on our pregame show here on the podcast. And you looking down the schedule, man, they're gonna have 40 plus wins at All-Star break. Like, they could have 42 wins at the All-Star break. Like, at 45, I was on the optimistic side. That was like higher than most people. You saw NASCAR, people were saying 35, 38. Because you move JV, you're thinking, okay, well, this front office is about development and they're going to take a step back and kind of develop guys. They're probably going to play Zaire and it's going to be a step back. No, man, this has not been a step back at all. The leap that Ja has taken, the leap that Desmond Bane has taken, it's been tremendous. And even now we see what Zaire Williams is doing, and they got to give King Kleiman his flowers on that one, man. It was a lot of people unhappy with that pick, including myself. Like, I never thought that there was no way that he could become a good player, but I didn't expect what we're seeing right now this quickly. I just thought there were guys that were more ready to kind of step in and play. But now, man, I'm pleased with what I'm seeing. And I had no idea that we'd see anything like this from Zaire this year.
Yeah, man, it's incredible. After all of these oops tonight, I go back to, like, they had his press conference, his draft day, like the post-draft press conference. And somebody asked him about Ja Morant, and he's like, I know if he throws it up there, I'm going to go and get it, right?
And he's going to get it. He's going to get it, man.
And so it's the chemistry that those two have developed already. And just, I know in these last couple of shows we've talked about growth from him, but I don't think that we can emphasize it enough that the difference that you see from – those first 20 games, he comes back off the injury, gets injured again, and then it's COVID. And now where he is, it's not normal, man. It's not normal to see a guy make that type of turn that quick. And it's great for this franchise. It has him in a fantastic spot that the Warriors were tied for the best record in the league. And the Grizzlies have beaten them twice now. They play them tough. And that's why I'm telling you, I've said it before, I'll say it, there's not a team that I'm scared of. The Jazz are going to be the toughest matchup for the Grizzlies whenever it comes to the playoffs because of the personnel. But there's no team that I fear for this Grizzlies team to go up against. And you know that this locker room is of the same mindset.
Yeah, when you look at the Warriors, Clay's going to come back and he's going to be back and get more comfortable. They're going to have Draymond Green back and James Wiseman. But I kind of like the matchup against the Warriors. And I've said this in the past. I think the Warriors are a really good front running team. When they get out and run, they usually get teams to quit. And that's the thing about this Grizzlies team. They don't quit. They keep coming at you no matter what you're doing. And I think Golden State's kind of used to beating teams in some submission that doesn't work against the Grizzlies. Like, the Grizzlies might not always beat them. We saw the second game out in San Francisco where the Warriors were able to pull it out, but it took a heroic performance from Steph Curry, and they still almost lost the game. And that I love this matchup because the Grizzlies are going to be physical with you, and they can also score on the other end. And I just don't think they're used to teams not submitting to them, and that's what the Grizzlies don't do. This team is not going to quit. Again, they might not win every game, but they're never going to fold. And that's what we saw. I mean, the Golden State came out and tried to throw a punch early. And then the Grizzlies got up, and then Golden State into the end of the second quarter, the third quarter, Golden State really went on a run, and this team didn't fold. I mean, they kept fighting. The next thing you know, man, they're up, and they were able to hold on. And a lot of it, I hope the people that talked about Jaren and they want to move Jaren and that he doesn't have an impact on the team. He's not doing this. He's not scoring enough. He's not rebounding enough. I hope y'all liked that third quarter. Jaren got into the foul trouble. Jaren played 1 minute in that third quarter, and the Grizzlies give up 39 points.
Who won that quarter? Who won that quarter?
Yeah. Gave up 39
points. I'm so glad you brought that up. Like, I wanted to make a point of that. Jaren picks up his fourth foul early in the third, and then he sets. We don't see him again in the third, and the Grizzlies get outscored by 11. Man. Yeah, you look at his offensive numbers, 13 points from Jaren, 5 of 13 from the field, and it's like, oh, man, you know, he didn't really do a whole lot. Look at that third quarter, man. Look,
yeah.
The third quarter happened because Jaren Jackson was not on the floor.
100%. That's almost literally what happened. Like, he wasn't on the floor. Their defense went in the tank. And you look at the fourth quarter, he plays a lot, and they only give up 18 points. And that's – I can't say it's 100% on Jaren, but I think this team has missed pretty much everybody on this team except Jaren, ironically. And I think he's the one guy that they can't afford to lose because of the impact that he has on the defensive end. And I think you found out clearly what life without Jaren would be like in that third quarter. They can't afford to lose him because – and I know you say Ja is the most important player to this team, but I don't know, man, that third quarter. I mean, Jaren, what he does on the defensive end and how big of a swing it is when he's on the floor and off the floor defensively, Jaren might be the most important player on his team. And I know there are some people out there thinking I'm crazy right now, but just look at the numbers and just watch that third quarter tonight and see the difference in their defense.
Yeah, and the thing that you have to, when we're having this conversation, the thing you've got to wrap your head around is most important player on the team doesn't necessarily mean best player on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I for a long time said that I thought this defense would be in trouble without Dylan Brooks. But the more that I watch this team and I see what happens when Jaren is off the floor, it's Jaren is definitely the more important defensive piece. And I wouldn't have said that early in the season at all. You know, I know that he makes a huge impact defensively, and we've preached and preached and preached about the impact that he makes on this game. Even when he does have a night with only 13 points, he was 13 points, 11 rebounds, 2 steals and 3 blocks. Him and Brandon Clark in that fourth quarter, the last 4 minutes, man, they were incredible together. And I'm going to preach it until I'm blue in the face. I will die on this damn hill. Brandon Clark should be in that starting lineup. They need to start them two together. I know that closing is the most important thing, but they've got it. Those two guys, there was one play in particular, and I can't remember which. I think it may have been Clay, but I'm not 100% sure which Warriors player it was. He goes to the basket, and the shot gets blocked twice. Like, Jaren got it first, and the guy was still able to kind of get it going toward the vicinity of the basket.
I think it might have been Jordan Poole.
You know, you may be right that – looking back now, I think you are. I'm pretty sure it was Poole.
Yeah, I think it was Jordan Poole.
These guys are great together. I'm not going to go off down that road like we have the last couple of episodes. You guys know how I feel about it. But if you're tired of hearing about it, you're going to hear it more because until it happens, I'm going to be on here standing for Brandon Clark, wanting to see him in that starting lineup.
Hey, put your best lineups on the floor. I mean, it's simple as that. Like, why not? Like, why do you see something that works so well? You look at the numbers. It says it works better than anything else, but you're like, nah, I need this guy off the bench because he brings energy, man. No, man, put him in the starting lineup. And again, man, the point that I'm making is Jaren is a cornerstone piece for this franchise. And when you see that he maximizes when he's playing next to BC, and that's you want internal growth for this team on top of you still evaluating BC, there's no reason that he shouldn't be in the starting lineup. Like, I don't get it, man. I know that's beating a dead horse. We talked about this a lot. We've been on Twitter having conversations with different people about it, but at this point, man, it's time to make it happen. It's good that a guy went down, Steven Adams, and he's probably going to be back on Thursday when they take on the Timberwolves, I'd imagine. But I think it's clearly shown now how well this works. And I think one thing that we're finding out is maybe the reason why people talk about Jaren's rebounding, back-to-back double-doubles, first time in his career, Had another 11 rebounds tonight, 13 rebounds in the last game. Maybe he doesn't rebound when he's at the four, but if he's playing the five and he has to be in there getting those rebounds, you've seen what he's done. And I think the other times, maybe he kind of defers to JV and Steven Adams and let those get those rebounds. But now that he is the de facto five, he's rebounding the basketball much better.
I've said something similar to that before. Look who he has played with. When he's on the floor with JV, JV is a vacuum cleaner around there. And why get in there and bang with the big guys when you got a big man down there that's going to go and get the rebound?
Because he's
why
just taking
your body through that. It doesn't make sense to do that. You know, why go down there? Yeah, would I like to see him average 7 or 8 boards a season? I would 100%. I would love to see him averaging 7 or 8 rebounds a season. But like, you can't say after this stretch with Steven Adams missing these games and seeing what Jaren is able to do,
it shows you he's capable.
Yeah, I'm not going to listen to any more of the Jaren can't rebound. That myth is, it's been busted. We're myth busters tonight. That myth has been busted. So it's all about opportunity. You got a guy that's pulling down, you know, I think JV averaged like 12 rebounds last season, and Jaren missed a lot of time last year. But before that, he was playing with JV. And so, you know, this year Adams comes in, starts off slow, but I think that I want to say he's close to 10 this year. Is that right? Do you have that by chance? So I can pull it up, but you know,
let me see.
You have a big body guy that's down there, and he's already banging with everybody in the paint. Why risk it? And that's you want your team to rebound. I understand that. I'm not, you know, supporting somebody being lazy.
It's 9.4 is what he's at now.
Yeah. So, you know, just under 10 rebounds. So it's Jaren he's shown us that he is more than capable of going out there and getting rebounds. Fantastic fourth quarter from Tyus Jones. He was like lights out from three tonight, 5 for 5, 6 for 8 from the field, 17 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. Tyus Jones, backup point guard, is out here knocking on the door of a triple double. It's crazy that we had conversations about trading him, and then you see what he's capable of. And this helps support the argument that we've had on here about he could go somewhere else and start. That, like,
100%.
Not that Jones
is a doubt about it.
Yeah, he's not going to do this every night. He's not going to be 5 for 5 from three every night. But he's a fantastic game manager, and there's a lot of teams out there that need that, man.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I think he's helping his cause. I think I already felt like even if he was kind of the Tyus that we saw last year, that he'd probably be out of the Grizzlies' price range. I think definitely now they're not going to pay him what he's worth on open market to back up Ja. They're just not going to do it. Ja plays too many minutes, and Tyus is kind of a luxury, especially at the price that he's going to be. And I just can't see them doing that. I am starting to think that they're probably not going to move him. I know we've talked about how this front office feels and everything, but this team is so good right now that I think they hold on to him and just let the chips fall where they may. I think he's going to get the bag and go somewhere else, and more power to him. I mean, I don't blame a man for seeking more playing time and getting what he's worth, because he's having a fantastic season shooting the basketball. Man, we've never seen Tyus shoot the basketball like this. And I always go back to media day when he said he was upset with his shooting numbers last year, and he felt like he's a much better shooter than what we saw last year. And he's talking about getting how many shots he got up a day. I think he said 300 threes a day that he was shooting. And it is paid off big time. I mean, you can see it, the confidence. He's hunting threes, and that's not something that you would have saw from Tyus last year. And, I mean, he had that one sequence where he hit a three, came back down, was coming back up the court. I think Steph Curry was guarding him, knocked the ball out of his hands and went in backcourt. He went back and got it, man. Came down and just pulled up top of the key, man, deep, and knocked it down, man, on Curry. I was like, yes, Tyus, that's stones right there, man. And it's just good to see him shooting the basketball and playing well, man. The bench did a fantastic job tonight. Him and BC with 31 points combined. Just fantastic to see. And going back to, man, I'm right there with you, man. I'm going to keep on beating that drum, man. BC needs to be in the starting lineup next to Jaren. Bring Steven Adams off the bench. Steven Adams can come off the bench and get rebounds, and you still have your fouls and everything that he brings. I think he'll be fine. He's a veteran guy. I think he just left that role, if that's kind of where they put it, because, again, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be on this roster, definitely not 2 years from now. if he's back next year. So develop your guys, man. And Jaren's going to be a cornerstone piece. And the idea has always been that he's going to be the five. I think that's kind of how this front office and his coaching staff has kind of thought of it. So, man, why? And you see that it's working. Why not make that change now?
Yeah. I mean, 14 points, 9 rebounds, a steal and 2 blocks from Brandon tonight.
Man, just looked awesome.
It's 6 for 9 from the field. He's back to doing the things that he's capable of doing, and he's flourishing. He's back to the guy that we fell in love with his rookie season. And, yeah, I'm not going to keep beating it. I'll move on to somebody else. Zaire Williams' stat line tonight is 17 points, yeah, 2 assists. Fantastic. You know, knocked down 3 threes, 2 free throws, just being in the right spot. There were a couple times that he had the ball in rhythm and he had a look at a 3 and he passed on it. Yeah. And I wish that he would have just taken them.
Yeah, I was like, shoot it. And he passed them up. I was like, man, I would love to see him pull. He had a couple in the corner. I think one on the left wing and one on the right wing. Mm-hmm. He kind of passed them up. I was like, man, just let it fly, man. Because you're shooting with confidence. You're shooting the basketball well now, man. Take those shots.
Yep. Don't second guess yourself. Desmond Bane struggled a little bit from the field for tonight. 3 for 14. He did knock down 3 threes, you know, but he contributed elsewhere. You know, he had 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Just he done a stellar job tonight defensively, working his ball.
Yeah, and I was going to say something about that in a minute.
Yeah, go ahead, man. I'll let you take off with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bane, he's not Dylan Brooks defensively, but I don't think he gets enough credit for how much he's improved on the defensive end. Man, he's more than a capable defender. He holds his own out there night in and night out. And I don't think we talk about his shooting and his offensive numbers and what he's been doing there, but I think his defense gets a little discredited. He's been playing pretty good defense against some high-level players. I mean, I think I remember that game. Not the other night, but the second time they played the Lakers, the time before last at FedEx Forum, he was guarding LeBron, he was guarding Carmelo, and doing a pretty solid job of it. So, I mean, I wanted to give a shout-out to him and his defense, because his defense has improved along with his offense. So, it's just not one side of the basketball, man. He's improved all around.
Yeah, complete player. And that's going back to Zaire's press conference, his post-draft press conference. He talked about being the big wing that this team needs on the offensive and the defensive end. And Coach Jenkins was talking about, you know, playmaking abilities that we can unlock, you know, that they can unlock as a coaching staff. And it's, you see what they've been able to do with Desmond Bane. And it makes me wonder what we're going to see out of Zaire Williams in year 2. And I know that we're not, you know, we're just barely over halfway through year 1, but the level of confidence that Bane came into year 2 with, what's he going to look like? What's Zaire going to look like next year coming into year 2?
Yeah, man, and maybe he can be a similar situation where you see Zaire kind of leading that summer league team this summer and them empower him to do some more things and over the summer, because I think the work ethic is there if you listen to the things he says, because you know it. Like, he comes back off injury and looks like this. You know he's been putting in work since he's been out, because you can just see it. I mean, the confidence is there, and his game has improved. His shot is improved, so I know he's been working. And, I mean, it's scary, his potential. I mean, the length, like I say, he's long as CVS receipts. Man, gets in passing lanes, man, just does a lot of stuff out there for you, man. And if the jumper is looking a lot more consistent, and how high he gets up on that jump shot, like, you're not going to block his shot. And the slashing, and he's catching lobs now, and it's just going to get better. I don't think he's even scratched the surface. And you look up tonight, and he has 17 points. And what he knocked down 3 of 7 from 3, doing the things, doing it. Only going to continue to get more confident, plus 8 in 30 minutes tonight. It's just good to see him kind of unlocked out there, because I think with him, with what Bane's doing and what Zaire's doing, I just think it gives this front office something to think about. I don't think they have to be in a rush to go out and make a move, especially on the wing, which is kind of what everybody thought they were going to do, that they were going to save up all these assets. They're going to go out and get a shooting guard or a small forward to kind of fill in with John Jaren. And I don't think that's the case anymore, because I think they have guys on this roster that can grow into that. I mean, the development, you got to trust this coaching staff, because we've seen how they develop guys. So I have full confidence that whatever these guys still, and whatever Zaire still is going to be, I think they're going to get there because of the development and the track record they have with other young guys that they've had.
Yeah, that's. I've been saying that I don't think that they execute all three of those picks next year. You know, they've got three first round picks heading into next year's draft. And I still kind of feel the same way, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't execute two of those picks, to be honest with you. If they don't make a move and they go into that draft and they have all three of those picks heading into that draft, and they decide, okay, they're going to move back, or they're going to, you know, get rid of one of those on draft night, and they execute two of them with the guys that they have going into free agency, I trust this front office enough to obviously I trust them with the picks, but this coaching staff enough to develop these guys. You know, we're looking at Tyus Jones and Kyle Anderson free agents at the end of the season. If they don't re-sign either one of those guys, you have Santi Aldama that's coming in year two, and they drafted him, a highly skilled big man. He can dribble, he can pass, very high basketball IQ, as maybe a bigger version of Kyle Anderson. And then you have Zaire Williams. You know, Desmond Bane has already shown that he can be a primary ball handler. He can initiate the offense. And we talk about Zaire Williams and his playmaking abilities. If they play him at the point guard, or heck, they can even draft a point guard at this point in this draft to play backup, to be the backup point guard. So they can, in fact, execute those picks, even though you look at this roster and it's like, man, they don't really have room for those picks. They can. They can just let Kyle and Tyus walk, and that would be.
Culver's a free agent as well, so you could be looking at three open spots depending on what you do there.
Yeah, like you can let those guys walk. I don't want to see them do that. I think that they can get good return out of those guys if they do decide to move them. Or, you know, with as well as this team is playing, maybe they decide to re-sign them and they make the push. Maybe they do package those three picks together and go out and get somebody that they think that they need to push them over the edge, depending on what happens the rest of the season. But I, going into next season, if you let Kyle and Tyus walk, Kyle, Tyus, and Culver obviously to a much lesser extent because of his limited playing time, but you have a guy in Santi Aldama that I believe his skill set is similar to Kyle Anderson's. And with this coaching staff's ability to develop players, you may see a massive leap from Santi Aldama going into year two, and he may be your Kyle Anderson off the bench next year.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch them in summer league. I'm not trying to rush anything, but I'm a summer league guy. I love summer league. I love the draft. I love breaking down these prospects. So that's going to be fun watching those guys, hopefully out in Vegas this summer. But I still don't think they execute all three of them, but I definitely could see them using two of them because they currently don't have a second round pick. I've got to think, I don't know if it's Phoenix that has their second round. I want to say Phoenix or the Clippers has their second round pick this year. So that's all they have is the three first rounders. So I could definitely see them using two of those picks, especially since they don't have their second rounder. And as you said, I mean, this front office has done such a good job of developing guys. And if they let those guys walk it, and Kyle and Tyus, they're definitely going to be needs there. I mean, they could draft a point guard in the first round, a guy they can try to develop and come in behind Ja. Because again, with Ja being the superstar player that he is, you don't necessarily need a player that's going to come in and play a lot of minutes. I mean, Tyus is as good as he is, and I love him on the team and love to have him back. He's more of a luxury because of what Ja has turned into. But it's going to be an interesting offseason. I think that's what's so fun about this team, because they're already as good as they are. I mean, we're talking tied for third in the West right now. And you teams in that position aren't usually set up the way they are. Boston was a team several years ago that was, and I was kind of always jealous of them and the assets. Like, they had these young guys and Tatum and Brown and they're already good, and they got all these assets. They can make trades. They got all this flexibility. And Danny Ainge kind of blew that. They never really maximized it. I think that's kind of what you're seeing now. So there's always a danger that you can go the wrong direction. But it's fun, man, to see how this team is overachieved year in and year out. It gets to a higher level every year, maybe to this point, to where this team could possibly be a contender already. And they still have a lot of other moves, chess moves that they can make. And that's what's so fun and what's so scary, I guess, for other teams around the league, that I think this Grizzlies team is set up for sustained success for a long time.
Yeah, 100% they are. And that's, if you go back and you listen to the Zaire Williams press conference, Coach Jenkins mentioned, he's like, you know, we want to have sustained success. And so that's the goal from this team. That's the goal from this front office, from the coaching staff. And the way that they're developing players, man, I think that it's extremely possible that they could. You know, I'm just looking, and again, we're not trying to rush things, but point guards that they could go out and get that are going to be available around the late lottery area, or maybe if they want to move up. Obviously, if they want to move up, a guy like Jaden Ivey would be incredible. But, you know, he's probably not going to be a backup more than his first year. But, you know, later on in the draft, you got Blake Wesley from Notre Dame. He's having a stellar season. Ty Washington had 17 points and 17 assists the other night when they actually let him run the offense. And the kid can shoot the lights out. I have a disdain for Kentucky and Coach Calipari. And it was even before the craft that went down in Memphis. I just have never liked his style. But Ty Washington is a baller, and kids from Kentucky – it translates into the NBA. You look at players in the NBA that have been coached by Calipari. There's a ton of them. Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns, on and on and on. You can keep naming them. Kentucky kids can play at the next level. You know, and then even further down, if you're looking later in the first round, there's some guys, Kennedy Chandler from Tennessee is another guy that can come up, and
definitely
Caleb Love out of North Carolina. He's a little bit bigger. I think that's probably a little more up Isaac's alley, but you know, just because of the size, Isaac doesn't like short people, but it's great because they have so many options. They're not handcuffed. The Grizzlies in the past, the front office has been terrible at managing assets. And Zach Kleiman, Tayshaun Prince, all the guys in this front office have done a fantastic job to put this team in a position where they can have that sustained success. We kind of ran off the rails here where we got away from the game. I want to bounce back into that. De'Anthony Melton only played 12 minutes tonight, had a little bit of foul trouble, but the shots just were not falling for him.
He struggles as he came back from the COVID.
Yeah, I wonder if he's not feeling. I wonder if he's not feeling some adverse effects, man. Because it doesn't seem like he's really got his legs back under him out there. Do you think he does?
Yeah, man, he definitely hasn't looked the same. I mean, he's done some things like last game. I mean, he filled the stat sheet up outside of offense. He just hasn't been shooting the basketball well. But yeah, when you just kind of look at him physically, the eye test, he just doesn't look like the same guy. And a lot of times people talk about COVID and people that athletes and you bounce back fine, but you go back to Jason Tatum. He said he still doesn't feel 100% like the guy he was before he had COVID. And I mean, you can have long-term effects from it. And that definitely could be something that we're seeing from De'Anthony Melton, because he doesn't look right. You're right. Like he just doesn't look like the same guy. And definitely not shooting the basketball well since he comes back. So hopefully he comes around, but that's going to be something to watch. I think that could be very well what we're seeing.
Yeah, you know, there were multiple NBA players that have mentioned that they feel lingering effects after, you know, testing positive for COVID. Karl Anthony Towns, Yusuf Nurkic, you know, you mentioned Jason Tatum. So it's while they do tend to recover from it because they are in peak physical condition, just because you recover from it doesn't mean that you're 100%. And I'm not convinced that Melton is 100% right now.
Yeah, and to go to different sports, Ezekiel Elliott, that plays for the Cowboys, he had it over the summer, and it took him about a couple months before he was able to even work out the same way, lift weights, before he said you just don't have the energy that you used to. And Jose Abreu, that plays for the White Sox, he had it, and you could tell, man, he was struggling for a couple of months at the plate before he kind of – he said he just didn't have the requisite strength. He just didn't feel the same. And another guy I can't think of the guy's name. I'm talking about a baseball player. But yeah, man, we've seen athletes talk about this all the time, that sometimes, man, some people get over it and don't really have any effects. And then other guys kind of still have lingering effects from it. So hopefully that's not the case. And hopefully he snaps out of it, but he doesn't look right now. And I mean, they need him. It's that energy guy to come in and bring the defense out off the bench, especially with DB out for a significant amount of time, man. They can really use that defense and that energy from him.
Yeah, that was one of my arguments about bringing Brandon Clark off the bench and losing that energy guy from the bench is you still had DeAnthony Melton. Hopefully he gets back into form. I have confidence that he will. It just seems like I said, he doesn't really seem to me like he's got his legs back under him. You know, tonight only playing 12 minutes, 4 quick fouls. Maybe that's why it seems like that. I don't know. But even in the game where he had a decent stat line, he didn't feel like DeAnthony Melton. So Xavier Tillman played 15 minutes tonight. He was 1 for 6 from the field, 6 rebounds. He had a pretty nice strip. I think it was Otto Porter Jr. had the ball. He's holding up high.
Yep.
And Tillman just snatched it.
Snatched it out of his hand, yeah.
And it was – I love to see it. Like, he just – he's a grown-ass man, and he showed it on that play, man. So there's a number of guys on this team that can contribute. We've seen it night in and night out, especially with all the injuries that they've dealt with this year. And I have to say, I've not seen that excuse. Early on when the Grizzlies first started winning games, I saw people making the excuse, oh, well, you know, they played this team without this player and this team without that player. But, you know, now that the Grizzlies are doing the same thing, like, they're still beating people and they're the ones missing players. You're not seeing that narrative.
Well, I'm glad. I was going to say, to that argument, the Grizzlies have now 17 wins over teams 500 or better, and that's the best record in the league. Warriors don't even have that many wins. I think Phoenix or Golden State doesn't have that many wins over that. So that argument is not valid at all. Like, I heard that stat earlier today. I think it might have been Pranica that tweeted that out. But I think they're now have 17 wins against teams over 500, and they're the only team in the NBA that has that many wins. So I don't want to hear this argument about they're not playing anybody because I think in the first part of the season, they were like top five, at least in toughest schedule. I think they have one of the easiest. I think they're 27 from here on. And I think that even makes it even scarier. It makes it even for other teams and make it even worse that they could solidify where they are right now because they have an easier schedule going down the stretch than a lot of other teams. It is road heavy down the stretch. I think they only have, I want to say, 15 home games left.
They only play 3 home games in all of February.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's all of February. It's only 3 home games. So
yeah, a lot of road games coming up, but they have some games against some of the lower level teams on each side of the conference. So they got a chance to rack up some wins, man. I would be shocked if this team didn't have 40 plus wins at the All-Star break, and that is nuts, man, compared to what we were thinking going into the season. But man, we gotta talk about Morant, man. The man of the hour, man. 29 points. What do you have? 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 blocks, 11 of 28 from the field. Was 1 of 4 from 3, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, 37 minutes, -1 in the game. That tells you kind of got about plus minus, man. We always talk about it can be a fantastic stat and isn't always a fantastic stat because -1, man, he's the one that just kind of closed this game. But he did what a superstar player is supposed to do. The team needed some big buckets down the stretch. I mean, he was going to the hole, not getting any calls, man. I can't remember how many times he went to the hole tonight, got fouled, got hammered. Got no calls, man, but he finally got a couple to go. He had that little floater, a step back. He was going to the hole. He got a step back and took the jump shot and got that one. Then he had a layup, and then he got the and one. And those were kind of the plays that kind of solidified this game and closed it out. Golden State was kind of hanging around. I think it got down to 2 one time, but Grizzlies never let them tie the game up. I mean, they just kept coming and pulled away, man, and ended up winning by 8. And that's what superstars do. When you need buckets down the stretch, to give them the ball, man, they go make plays. We've seen Ja do that time and time again. And I'm just glad that he's doing it on a big stage. We've seen him do it against the Lakers a couple times. And the nation's going to get to see the Grizz this week, man. This game was on NBA TV Friday night. They're going to be on ESPN Monday, of course, Martin Luther King game against Chicago, which really looking forward to that one. That one's going to be on TNT. So a lot of people are waking up on this team. I saw a lot of people, I think it was Nate Duncan maybe, that tweeted out after this game, that now we have 4 legit contenders in the West, and that 4th team is the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, and they could even be higher than that, but I think national guys are starting to put them in that conversation because they're being forced to. They have no choice. Like, they try to deny it as long as they can, but man, what this team is doing is so ridiculous, man. I don't think they can deny them any longer.
Stephen A. Smith even went on Twitter and apologized. And I made
sure
to let
him know. Skip Bayless. I was going to say Skip Bayless. The Grizz are now his favorite team. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but he's loving the Grizz right now. So. Yeah.
You know, Stephen A. tweeted that, you know, he's like, I owe the Grizzlies an apology. And I retweeted, I'm like, I've done the your favorite picture of the play to Crow. And I'm like, I'm going to need you to finish all of it. He was so negative on this team, man. That's what drives me crazy is I don't know, but I would bet you any amount of money that you want to watch that Stephen A. Smith has watched five or fewer Memphis Grizzly games this year.
Yeah, you know,
He has no idea.
He's such a poser. He's so fake, yeah, man.
Like, you get me on a show and you have a guy in my ear feeding me stats, I can argue with anybody. And listen, like, he's got great charisma. He's worked his ass off to get to where he's at. So kudos to all of that. But don't speak on something like you know about it when we know that you don't. Like,
he's made so many gaffes. There's been so many times where he said, like, guys that have been on teams in like 3 years, like you can tell that he doesn't watch all these games like he portrays he does. Even with the NFL, he makes so many mistakes. I can't remember. It was like Terrence Williams. Like, you talk about the Cowboys, and this was like last year. Terrence Williams had been on the Cowboys for like 3 years. He's like, yeah, Terrence Williams did this and that. I'm like, dude, Terrence Williams played for the Cowboys in 3 years. Like, what are you talking about? You hear him make those kind of mistakes all the time. NBA with all sports, that lets you know right there that he's not up on it the way he tried to portray he is.
Yeah. So, man, I guess the only thing we hadn't talked about in this game are the team stats. You want to get those tonight, man?
Yeah, man. Grizzlies 44 of 100 for 44%. Just Grizzlies, man, they get their shots up. I think it's second game in a row where they got 100 shots up. Golden State 35 of 82. So 18 more shots on goal for the Grizzlies, but Golden State 35 of 82 for 42.7%. Grizzlies outshoot the Warriors from the three-point line. If you told me that going into the game, I would have said the Grizzlies would win the game, and they did. 14 of 34 for the Grizzlies for 41.2%, 13 of 36 for 36.1%. And when you think about those three-pointers, they weren't the guys that you kind of really thought that would lead it. It's Tyus Jones and Zaire Williams with 8 threes combined between those guys. We would have had that coming into this game. Free throw line, Grizzlies 14 of 18 for 77.8%. Warriors 25 of 29 for 86.2%. So Warriors with 11 more free throw attempts than the Grizzlies and 11 more makes than the Grizzlies from the free throw line. Rebounds, Grizzlies 49, Warriors 45. Assists, Grizzlies 30 to 25 to the Warriors. Steals 11 to 8, Grizzlies. Blocks 8 to 5, Grizzlies. Turnovers, Grizzlies with 11, Warriors with 17. Grizzlies with 25 fast break points to 14 for the Warriors. And the Grizzlies with 58 points in the paint to 40 for Golden State. And one thing I do want to say, man, is, man, Klay Thompson hasn't lost a step at all. Like, I'm super impressed with the layoff that he had, man, for him to look the way he has. I know he's playing 5 minutes, limited minutes there, holding his minutes back. But once they unleash him, but you can see when he's out there on the floor, man, he looks like Klay Thompson. When he shoots, I mean, he's making shots the same way. Like, he hadn't lost a step. He's moving the way he's cutting to the basket. Like, if anybody thought he was going to come back and look diminished, he does not at all.
Yeah. Definitely in these first, I watched a little bit of his return in that first game. He had that one dunk where he looked pretty explosive. So it looks like he is completely healed. And I'm glad, you know, he's one of the better players to ever play.
Fantastic.
You know, and he's just a good guy, you know. And so glad that he's back. Even more glad that the Grizzlies beat their butt tonight. But, you know, you talked about the Grizzlies getting up shot. They're in the top third of the league in pace. And that many points in the paint, this Warriors team is one of the better defensive teams in the league, and the Grizzlies hung 116 on them. It's just they're doing this. They're imposing their will on the other team, and it's not just scrub teams. They're doing it against the best in the league. And so you have to have the conversation. They have to be in the conversation when you're talking about the best teams in the league, because – they're beating the best teams in the league. And if you're beating the best teams in the league, how are you not in the conversation?
And you just brought up a great point there. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think they could have success in a series against this Golden State team, because how they do it is they outpace teams. They're getting up more shots than you. And when you're in Golden State's hitting threes, and they even outshot them from three tonight. Like, so that's even stronger. But I think the Grizzlies they get more shot attempts up, and that's kind of how they make up for if a team's knocking down threes the way Golden State usually does, because it's usually probably when you play Golden State, there's usually going to be a deficit there in threes, but it wasn't even that tonight. That wasn't even the case. So just a fantastic win, and I was saying throughout the game, man, I wanted this one for these guys so bad because I want them to get the attention that they deserve. And when you beat teams, it shouldn't be this way, but when you beat the Lakers, people stand up and look. And when you beat Golden State and Phoenix, that gets people around the nation interested in what's going on down here. And that's what I wanted. I felt like this game meant a lot more to the Grizzlies than it meant to the Warriors, because we already know people love and adore Warriors all over the country, man. But I want the Grizzlies to be one of those teams. We're the smallest market in the country, but we see what Ja Morant and what these guys are doing down here. I want these guys to get the appreciation that they deserve. And when you win games like this, it goes a long way in doing that.
Now, you go back to that loss right before Christmas when they lost to the Warriors.
It was their last loss, actually.
Yeah, the Grizzlies lost that game 113 to 104. Steph Curry made as many threes by himself almost as an entire Grizzlies team. And so tonight that wasn't the case. It's when the Grizzlies are firing on all cylinders, they're a hard team to beat. And this Warrior team has found out twice this year. So here we are, man. I can't get out of here, man, without talking about the fans, without talking about everybody that was at the forum tonight. I got to applaud you, pat you on your back, give you your flowers. Every single time that Andre Iguodala touched the ball, he was getting the business. And I love it, dude, that like that's what it's about. That, you know, he disrespected Memphis. And I didn't see it on camera, but apparently there was a brush up between Iguodala and Brandon Clark, and they had to be separated. Did you get eyes on that at all, Isaac?
I mean, I saw them talking back and forth, but they kind of went away from it. I don't know, purposely or what. But, yeah, they did have a little – they bumped up against each other, and I saw them talking, and I think they called a timeout. I didn't see anything other than that, but there was like an incident where they were kind of jawing back and forth. I remember that.
Yeah, so – glad to can you know, shout out to the fans giving Iguodala the business tonight. I love it. That's fantastic. I kind of got distracted about where I was going with my previous point. I don't even remember what was I talking about before I went to the fans, man. That just kind of hit me out of nowhere. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to miss this. I got to get that in there because it was great to, you know, on the TV, you could hear it every single time that I didn't even have to. I could be not looking at my TV and I knew that Iguodala got the ball because FedEx for I just letting him have it. So good stuff,
man. We're really quickly before we do get out of here, man. This tremendous schedule going forward, man. It's a big week, man. A big win tonight, obviously against Golden State. And I was looking at the standings today, and somehow I missed how well that Minnesota have been playing, man. I didn't even notice that they were at 500. They did drop back below 500 tonight. They're now 20-21. And drop down to ninth place, but they're only a game and a half before they lost tonight, were a game out of sixth, which I hadn't realized that they had kind of taken a leap like that. But they did lose the game tonight, man. It was a tight game down in New Orleans. New Orleans was up by two with, I think, 9 seconds left. Got D'Angelo Russell just kind of walked straight to the basket off the inbound and laid it up, tied up with, I think, 4 seconds left maybe. And Pelicans come back down, man. Deep, deep three by Brandon Ingram, top of the key to win the game, walk-off. So they do lose tonight. They're going to be at FedEx Forum on Thursday night. But the team's been playing better than I thought they were, and that's always kind of been a tricky matchup for the Grizzlies. They always seemingly, for some reason, get a Grizzlies problem. They had that game out there where they got just doors blown off by them up in Minnesota, and the other one was close. You had the Cat 3 to take it to overtime. Grizzlies did end up winning that game at FedEx Forum the first time they were here. So that should be a good one. And of course, you got Luka and the Dallas Mavericks coming in on Friday night. That's going to be 9 p.m. weird Central Time start at FedEx Forum. It's going to be in the second half of a doubleheader on ESPN. Of course, you got the big game against the Chicago Bulls, which I don't think when the schedule came out, anybody – it was going to be – you thought it was going to be a solid game, but you didn't think it was going to be what it's going to be now. I mean, one of the top teams in the West versus the top team in the East. So that's going to be fun when 2:30 at TNT. But make sure you watch that on the Valley Sports Southeast, man. We're going to support our guys. Pete and a friend of the program, Brevin Knight. So make sure you check that out. Get those national guys, man. I love the fact that other everybody else gets to see it because it's on TNT. But right here in this region, man, support our local guys and Pete and Brevin, man. That's all I got, man.
Man, I wish Dylan was back for that T-Wolves game just because Dylan is a T-Wolves killer, man. He always seems to play
always
good against the T-Wolves. I know, was it like, man, with the seasons kind of running the way that they are, things are running together on me. But I know that there was one year where he went off for like, I think 27 in the first game against them and then dropped a 30 piece on them in the second game of the year. Just, you know, playing super, super well against that team. And
I was gonna say, even his rookie year, he played well against them. Weird. Like, I don't know what it is about the Timberwolves, but his eyes light up when he sees those Minnesota jerseys.
Yeah, it's, you know, certain guys just play better against certain franchises. I don't know why that is, but you look at, for example, Pascal Siakam against Phoenix. He always plays well whenever he plays against Phoenix. And I don't know if something happened that, you know, made it personal for him or whatever. But I love to see guys when there's a franchise that they play well against. I like to watch those games just to watch them light it up. But I think we'll get out of here. I've got nothing else. Isaac, anything else from you before we go, man?
Man, I was going to say, man, that T-Wolves game on Thursday is kind of one of those games that always kind of scared me. I mean, they're on a 10-game winning streak. They knocked out the Clippers and the Lakers in L.A., come home, beat Golden State, and you kind of got the Bulls and Mavericks game on the other side of that one. They got to come out and play well, man. That Minnesota team can come in here and beat you. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that team. I know they're ninth down in the West right now, but only a game and a half out of six. You got Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell, Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, that team can beat you if you're sleeping on them. So we just need to continue to come in and play well. I know they got the 10 in a row. If you want this to continue, man, those are the kind of games that good teams win. You just don't want a letdown. I know you kind of probably look at Minnesota and think, oh, well, they're not a good team. We're going to just show up and beat them. Now, I hope that's not the case, man. Come in and continue to play well. Because if you come in thinking that team, they're going to roll over, that they're not. I mean, that's a team. That's a game. I know it's not a marquee game, but that's still a game that you need to come out and play well, especially because they've been playing better as of late, and they're coming off a loss. So they're going to be coming in here trying to get a win. So I hope the Grizzlies come out and make it 11 on Thursday night.
Yeah, you go back to last year with the T-Wolves when they made that coaching change midseason, and they didn't lean into a tank. They immediately, when they moved to this new coach, they immediately started trying to win, and you could see kind of a shift in them. So it's, you know, not that I'm a T-Wolves fan, but I'm glad, you know, we've heard year after year after year since Carl Anthony Towns has been there that, oh, this is the year the T-Wolves turn it around. And it looks like this is actually going to be their year that they turn around and they make the playoffs. So definitely not a game that you can take lightly for the Grizzlies. And then it's going to be a tough back-to-back playing Luka. I know KP has been missing some time. I don't know if he's going to be back for that game Friday. We'll see. I don't think he's in protocols anymore for my understanding.
No, but they just rotate him in and out. Like, he'll play a couple games that he's out with something else, and he might miss a couple. He might play three in a row. You just never know with him. It seems like Luka's been in and out like that this year too. So you never know from night to night who's going to be playing on that roster. But kind of speaking of kind of the situation with the Grizzlies last time and Desmond Bane, man, Josh Green has been playing fantastic as of late. He's really kind of taken a leap. And I've had some Mavericks fans in my DMs saying, thank you guys for waking him up. But he's been fantastic. So that's kind of something to watch on Friday night as well.
Yeah, I've talked to Lauren Gunn. We're in a fantasy basketball league together. She covers the Mavericks. And we were kind of having a conversation about it. And both of us, like, and I think you were even too, both of us liked Green coming out of college. We liked his game. He just hadn't had any type of consistent playing time to try and find his rhythm. And now that he's getting it, he's showing why they took him where they did. And that's not to say that he's playing better than Desmond Bane, because we all know that that's not the case. But I want to see these guys succeed. When they get to the league, I want to see them succeed. So good on him. Maybe he'll have a good showing against Desmond Bane and the Grizzlies. I kind of hope not, but we'll see. I know we will not be here with post games for those two. I will be out of town. I'm heading to Springfield. They have the Bass Pro Shops tournament.
Oh, man, yeah. Man, it's going to be awesome.
So there's going to be some of the best high school prospects in the nation are going to be there. Ronnie James and Sierra Canyon. There's a kid out of New Madrid, Missouri, Jadis Jones, that has been, you know, creeping into the D1. He plays for Bradley Beal's AAU team. He's been getting some attention, not nearly as much. He's not as big of a name, but they got invited to that tournament, I think, a lot because of him. So that's where I will be. We will be here. I would say Sunday. I'll be back. That ends Saturday. So I'll be back Sunday. We'll try and come back and do a review, a recap of both games. Yeah,
double review. So and, sounds good.
And then get into it from there. And I may reach out to Lauren to see if she's available Sunday. Maybe she can jump in and talk a little bit of Maverick stuff with us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So I will we're going to go. We're going to get out of here. You can get me on Twitter. I'm at DWell2111. Do not forget about the giveaway. We're giving away the Ja Morant jersey. I'm going to run that until the Sunday of the All-Star game. All you have to do is go and find the original tweet on the @EthosGrizzlies page and like and retweet that. We will be announcing the winner Sunday night after the All-Star game. That's February 20th. So good luck to everybody. Appreciate you guys sharing that and, you know, get the name of the show out there. So follow me at DWell2111, the show @ Ethos Grizzlies. Isaac, let them know where they can find you and get us out of here, man.
Yeah, man. Who doesn't want jersey of the hottest player in the NBA right now, man? I think the answer to that is nobody. But you can find me on Twitter at ISAAC_Rivals. ISAAC_Rivals. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Ethos Grizzlies podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you. And we'll talk to you on Sunday. Go Grizzlies.